It has been a very eventful week this past week, this Easter week, as we celebrate the Lord's resurrection. Of course, the passing of Pope Francis was a shock to me, I'm sure to many of you as well. Of course, he was very sick, but I hadn't heard anyone saying that he was near death. So when I heard that he had died, I was shocked. But as the shock kind of settled in, I then wasn't really surprised, just given the fact that he had been in such ill health for these last number of weeks. In any case, we do mourn his loss right now. And so my Mass last night at 5:30 and my Mass this morning is being offered for him in gratitude for years, decades really, of service to the Church, especially this last decade, last 12 years as our Holy Father, and also praying for the salvation of his soul, that he may be right now with God, seeing God face to face, the Lord he loves so much on earth, that he may be with that Lord forever now in heaven. We also today are observing Divine Mercy Sunday, and our readings today are just filled with the mercy of God. Our first reading reminds us of the corporal work of mercy, caring for the sick, that was so much a part of our Lord's life. The Acts of the Apostles, one of the main messages of the Acts of the Apostles, is as Jesus did, so also will his Church do. So Jesus cared for the sick. Jesus worked miracles for the sick. So also the Church. So in our first reading, we have Peter, the other apostles, working miracles, taking care of the sick, having mercy on those having physical problems. Our second reading is from Revelation, really the introduction of that book. And that book is a book we'll be reading continuously through this Easter season on our Sunday Masses at the second reading. So be hearing more and more from this book. Historically, this book has been difficult to understand. Certain parts are very obscure. But one thing that is for sure is when we come to the end of the book, so the end of this Easter season, as we come to the end of the book of Revelation, one thing that's sure is that it's the ultimate triumph of God's mercy. And so while we had an introduction to today's second reading, we'll be looking forward to the triumph of the mercy of God that will come at the end of this book, at the end of our Easter season. Then our gospel passage, I only want to focus on the first half of it, involves Jesus revealing for the first time the gift he's giving to his apostles, to his Church, bishops and priests having this power to take away sins, to forgive sins. To set this up, Jesus, in the first half of the gospel, Jesus is actually appearing to the apostles for the first time as a group. He had appeared to other disciples, other apostles, in different ways. But in John's gospel, it is now the evening of that first Easter Sunday, the day of the resurrection. So in the morning, Jesus rose from the dead. It is now the evening, and Jesus meets with the 11 apostles, all of them together. Pardon me, except for Thomas. Thomas was not there. And the first revelation to them, the first good news he shares with them, is that he is risen. He is risen, and we hear John give the description in this passage that the disciples, the apostles, rejoiced. They rejoiced in the risen Lord. So that is the first good news of this passage. Soon after that, Jesus says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Whose sins you retain are retained." At that moment, Jesus basically gave the sacrament of confession, the power of the apostles and their successors, their helpers, bishops and priests, to take away sins, that sins may be forgiven. We could say this is the first gift of the risen Lord, that we have the power to have our sins taken away. And so then, this Divine Mercy Sunday, the scripture readings, the Word of God, which the Church gives to us, is simply filled all the way through with the mercy of God, how he cares for us, how he takes care of us, how he blesses us. And so this is Divine Mercy Sunday. We have the image of our Lord's Divine Mercy in our sanctuary with us. As we do, a part of today, after today's Mass, and later on in Spanish, with the Hispanic community, we'll be having the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So right after this Mass, you're welcome to stay after Mass to recite together the Divine Mercy Chaplet. which has been such an important part of the Church these last number of years since the pontificate of St. John Paul II. It is very providential and so fitting that as we go into this Divine Mercy Sunday, this Divine Mercy weekend, starting last night with our Vigil Mass, and then today Divine Mercy Sunday, that Pope Francis's funeral would have taken place yesterday morning. We could call him a Pope of Mercy, because mercy basically is love for one who is in need. So it's a kind of love, mercy is a kind of love, but specifically for a person who is in need. That was one characteristic of Pope Francis. He was keenly aware of people's needs. When people were suffering, when people were feeling marginalized, the poor, in whatever way, he was very keenly aware of their sufferings. He was also keenly aware that the solution, whatever the problem was for a person, whatever the source of their suffering, the solution would be Jesus Christ. And that is why evangelization was such an important part of his pontificate. That's why he liked to call us missionary disciples. That's why he spoke about the missionary option. That's why he wanted all of us to have a hunger to have everyone meet Christ. He used that term so often, the encounter with Christ, because he knew that the encounter with Christ would be the solution to every person's problems. And he wanted all of us to be as excited as he was about that encounter, about having that encounter take place. So a big part of his leadership of the Church was to encourage, inspire all of us to have the same kind of zeal, same kind of urgency to show to the world the merciful face of Jesus. And so then, as mentioned, this Mass is being offered for him. At this Mass, then, we pray for the repose of his soul. We also give thanks for his life, for his insights, his leadership, his inspiration, the blessings he's given to us as our Holy Father. There is another person that I want to speak of who died actually a few weeks ago, almost 2 weeks, 2 months ago, and that is one of our sisters, Franciscan Sisters of the Eucharist, and that is Sister Judith. Sister Judith was a superior here at St. Philip of our convent for over 15 years. She died this past March 4th, and you may be wondering, it's kind of a while, Father, you've not mentioned her before. As it turns out, around the time that she passed, I was very sick and continued to be sick for many weeks after she died, and so didn't really have a chance to say words to the community, words in appreciation of her. And as I realized I couldn't do it immediately, I was thinking, what is an opportune time to speak to the congregation about her and say some words and also share with the congregation the funeral cards that were made up for her funeral? And it struck me that Divine Mercy Sunday would be a good time to do that. And the reason why is that while she was a sister that was front and center of her life, she also served as a nurse. So the corporal work of mercy, caring for people's bodies in their need, sick bodies, was her work. She did that in Michigan for many years, and then since she came down here in 2007, she did that at Fairfax Hospital, which is very interesting because the charism of her congregation, we have Sister Janet with us, the charism of their congregation is to bring the sacred into the secular. Bring the sacred into the secular. And so caring for the body is sacred because it's made by God. In many cases, maybe most cases, the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But the environment in which he cared for the body was a very secular environment, as most of our hospitals these days are, very secular. And so a lot of what she shared with me and others as well was what it was like to be a religious sister in such a secular environment, and really how much appreciation was shown to her for her witness, for her presence, for her care. In addition to working there in the hospital in Michigan and other hospitals, she also helped us out here at the parish. She certainly helped me and other priests over the years. If I ever had any kind of a complication, I could always call her up or stop in and visit her, and she'd give me advice about what I should do. I recall once after leaving the hospital, I had to have these injections for a few weeks after that hospitalization, and I was a little queasy about doing that. I've never given myself an injection. I know some people here do that all the time, but I'd never done that, and so she would come by and she'd do these injections for me, for which I was very grateful. Even in her retirement, when she had to slow down a lot because of her own physical problems, she still was helping the parish out with a project we've been doing these last few years, and that is calling people in their homes. Because of COVID, some people's health and just concern about being out in public, they basically have remained in their homes. And so she and other parishioners would call people up, check in to see how they're doing. In my last official meeting with her, of course, I saw her many times, in fact, just maybe 3 weeks before she died, before she went in the hospital. She and I met back in November to talk about how we could make this program better, this calling up parishioners to make sure they know they're not forgotten. We're thinking of them, praying for them, and seeing if we can do anything for them. Most of all, Sister Judith was a religious sister. She is a member of the Franciscan Sisters of the Eucharist, really a new community, a little over 50 years old. She was one of the founding members in that community, and as a founding member, she was very serious about her religious life, her consecration, her belonging to the Lord, and this witness she had in the church. As a Franciscan, she was very down to earth, a great sense of humor. She was funny. You never had to guess what Sister Judith was thinking. She would let you know. She had a great love for priests because of a Sister of the Eucharist. The Eucharist comes through priests, and so that order, that congregation, and she definitely have a great love for us priests, and I certainly felt that love and the friendship that I have with her. She is a lovely sister, and she's a friend, and as I mentioned, in the back of the church after Mass, there are funeral cards. You can see her picture, her lovely picture, to have remembrance of her, along with a little scripture quote. So at the end of Mass, you're all welcome as you're leaving just to take one of those funeral cards to have this picture of Sister Judith, to give thanks for her life, and also to be praying for her. It is interesting that in this homily on Divine Mercy Sunday, I'm speaking at the same time of the passing of Pope Francis and the passing of Sister Judith. It is interesting because they both fell very sick around the same time. Around the time the Holy Father went into the hospital is around the time that Sister Judith became very sick. And so I basically paired them in my prayers. We had a Pope Francis and a Franciscan sister. So they were together in my prayers, and I was praying for them. As I mentioned, I myself became very sick during that period, so I kind of lost track of a lot of things. I was aware of Sister's passing, and it was heartbreaking because it came so quickly. I really didn't have a chance to say goodbye to her. And so I'm happy right now to be able to share about her at the same time that we're praying for Pope Francis, both of them together, Pope Francis and Sister Judith. We pray that eternal light may shine upon them and they may have the reward for their labors here for the Lord on earth by being with him forever in heaven. Amen.